Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. If you're visiting with us, we're going to open. I guess we can read this today. Because it fits in, I guess I could say it fits in the area of sowing and reaping, doesn't it? He gave and he reaped. So let's look at John 3:16. We can read that together. If you don't have your Bible, just look on with somebody or look on your electronic Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As I was sharing before, when it comes to prosperity or any of the promises of God, we need to know what God has promised to us, and we need to change our thinking. We need to see it as God sees it. We need to have his perspective. We need to have a heavenly perspective in this particular area where we're talking prosperity. We need to have heaven's viewpoint on it, not just an earthly perspective, because if we look at it, we're limited. In the natural, you know, this earth is full of sin. It's sin-touched, and so it's corrupted. So in the natural, without supernatural help, without his power, what does the Bible say? He's given us the power to get wealth. So without his help, you're struggling.
That's right.
You're scraping, you're making it, you know, you're trying to make it. But with his help, he can supernaturally give you favor and ability to get wealth.
Yes.
And we need to look at it from that standpoint. I'm not doing this by myself. I'm not going through life by myself. I've got what? The one called alongside to what? To help. I've got a helper who lives on the inside. I've got his word that can empower me to get wealth. And I can look at it from God's vantage point. I'm in Christ. So there's provisions, there's promises that assure me that I can have something that God has paid for. Amen. And so as I read from one of the other scriptures that we had in past lessons, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." I like the Amplified. It says, "Yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied." So we can see here from the scriptures, and we walk through, and you can get those particular lessons where we shared, when did Jesus become poor? On the cross. So he became poor that we might through his death become rich. And that means abundantly supplied. That means having wealth. Amen. And Deacon Gerald was sharing this morning from Genesis 8, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. So there's seed time and harvest that God has established that principle here in this earth, in the natural. But we also can see that in the spiritual side, there's a seed time and harvest principle that is at work. And so that's why we're looking at it. Now, one of the things where we talk about increase or the law of increase, and we touched on this, some of you may have been there on a Wednesday night, and I shared some of this in Pennsylvania, that there are qualifications for walking in prosperity. And one of those qualifications is that you need to put him first. You need to seek him first. And one of the scriptures that I like, it talks about the rich young ruler, and he said, you know, I've done all of these things. I've kept the law. I didn't kill anybody. I did all of that. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, that's great. He said, but now sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And what did he do? He went away sad. But he also said, sell everything, give it to the poor, and do what? Follow me. That means put him first. That means you don't, when we talk about sowing and planting, we're talking about giving the first fruits of what we receive here in this earth. Our goods and things that we receive, and in this case, it's money. And also, what do you have available to you that's sometimes I think is worth more than money? Time. So you have time, and you can sow time. You know, we were asking for help, and you go, let me pray about that. No, you have a bank of time that you can choose to do with, and you can sow that time for the work of God. And that's valuable like money. And I'll tell you one thing, we'll reap from that. It's spiritual. So putting the Lord first, it is really, when you think about it, this is a heart issue. This is something that you do from your heart. I know when he looked at, turn over to Mark 12 here a minute. We're just going to touch on the heart for a moment. But Mark 12, when he talked about the poor woman who brought the two mites, the widow's mite, but I like this in Mark 12, in verse 41. See, how would you like it if Jesus watched what you gave? See, we don't do that here. We don't. That's between you and God. But Jesus stood there and watched what they were putting in. Right? And Jesus sat over, this is verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and did what? He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So he stood there and watched what they were giving. He observed. And verse 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. I believe my margin says that those two mites were about 4 cents. So it wasn't a lot. It was very little, right? And they say here, which make a farthing. I don't know what a farthing is, but anyways, it wasn't much. And he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all, not one, all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance. So they gave of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The Amplified says, for they all threw in out of their abundance, but she out of her deep poverty has put in everything that she had, even all she had on which to live. So she gave of her what she had to live on. And I believe if you go over and you read in the book of Corinthians, you can start to read about the church of Macedonia. Similar. They gave out of their poverty. And sometimes, I'm certainly, you know, for me, the scripture says, see, because it's about the heart. When you sow, it has to come from the heart. And let's turn over there, since we're talking about the heart. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 9. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Almost sometimes when you give out of your abundance, it's like I'm playing it safe, right? Isn't that what it is? I'm going to give because I, you know, if I lose this in a sense, right? You know, I mean, we don't think that way, but I'm saying somebody gives and it's out of their abundance. It's like, hey, I'm covered. I'm all right. I got stuff to live on. But now you give and you got nothing left. How many have been there when God says, empty your bank account and give? I've been there. And what does that do to your brain sometimes? You go, tilt. Wait a minute. How are we going to live? Whoa, wait a minute. Your flesh gets nervous. Because what happens is, not only your flesh gets nervous, but the body, this because we've been touched by sin, there's an element of selfishness, isn't there? Like, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I got to hold on. How are we going to make it? And that's what this woman did. And she didn't play it safe. She gave everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. See, this is what we're talking about with the heart. And it's not just in the giving of money. This is sowing. This is giving of your time, giving of your resources, giving. It says if you sow a little, you get a little. You sow a lot, you get a lot. Every man according as he what? Purposeth in his heart. So it's got to come from your heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me read some of the other translations. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. If you're giving out of pressure, don't do it. The scripture here says you have to make up in your own mind, in your own heart, joyfully, not grudgingly. Amplified. Let each one, as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things. Of course, we've heard this for years, reading it here, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. I like this. This is the message. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. This is the 20th century New Testament. It says, remember the saying, scanty sowing, scanty harvest. Plentiful sowing, plentiful harvest. You get the idea. You sow a little, you get a little. You give a lot, you receive a lot. Sometimes, you know, when folks say, well, I don't have any friends. You're not friendly to people? You don't have a lot of friends. How much are you a friend to someone else? Not just friendly, how much are you a friend to someone? How much do you extend yourself to others? You do a little, you get a little. People don't help me. Well, how much of a help are you to others? You see, sowing and reaping. So the principle of sowing and reaping, and I would say it this way, sometimes, how many would be honest and say, as we were young in the Lord, we thought more about the receiving than the giving. Really? I said, how many of us, if you be honest, when you were baby Christians, now I know some of you, you know, you never really remember you were a baby Christian, but I mean when you were a baby Christian, how many of you thought more about the receiving than the giving, the sowing? We all did. Right? Amen. And so as we grow in the Lord, we need to, our mind is more on the sowing. Now, yes, we expect to receive. So as we grow, we expect when we sow, not just more on the sowing. Maybe I should have said it differently, but we expect in the sowing and the receiving. Because we say when we sow, we're expecting to receive. When you are a baby Christian, you're not thinking about giving. It's about, I need my needs met. It's like a little baby. Wah, wah, wah. I'm hungry. Feed me, give me. Right? It's not about me helping, me sowing, me, you know, sacrificing. You know, how many remember when you were growing up? You wanted to reap the benefits, but your parents said, go out and take the trash out. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to cut the lawn. I don't want to clean up my room. But we wanted to reap the benefits. See, so we were more about thinking about what we could get than what we could give. And that, to me, is the same even in church. As we grow spiritually, we're more giving-minded than the receiving-minded. We're more interested in what we can give. Every joint does what? Supplieth, giveth, so that the body can function. Amen. Glory to God. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. I know for so many years here, my heart, well, let me say it in this way, so it's not, you know, maybe taken the wrong way, but the things that needed to be done in the ministry my heart was to make sure I extended myself to the place where I had very little time left of my own time. I sacrificed myself for the purpose of making sure this ministry excelled in certain areas. And you may think, well, I wouldn't do that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm telling you what I did. What does the scripture say? Give as he purposes in his heart. I purposed in my heart to do that. And I did it not grudgingly. I enjoyed it. And so I reaped the benefits. God began to exalt me in certain areas and put me in certain areas. And I didn't do it to get something. I did it because it was in my heart to do. I wanted to do it. I enjoyed it. I wanted to see things run easier at that time for Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, extending myself beyond sometimes what was humanly possible, to the point sometimes of exhaustion. And I didn't do it. Now, there were times, you know, I said, this is crazy, but I purposed to do that. And so sometimes when we make appeals and people say, well, I don't have time, I made time. I made time. Now, yes, I didn't have maybe some of the responsibilities, and maybe that was part of it, that God knew I could do that. And I didn't have some of the responsibilities that you may have. But I purposed to see God's work be expanded and not, you know, whine over stuff and like, I don't have time to do this. No, I made time to do it. And sometimes you'll see, you know, even when you hear ministers of the gospel say, you know, people wonder why God always seems to be using them, because they make themselves available. To do what? Give. To use themselves, make themselves available to sow. Some that are called to pray. You're used in that particular area, and you do it not grudgingly. Does all this make sense to you? Am I preaching to the choir today? When we have, and I guess I'll say it this way. When we see, I saw it as a young person. I saw it clearly. And I didn't play it safe. You understand what I'm saying? I did it with all gusto. With all my energy, as much energy as I could give, I gave it. There was nobody could question, did Ed give his energy? Man, he gave. Did I give all my energy? Huh? I was blamed for having an apartment here. All the time, they said, he lives here. I never see him go home. So no one could ever say I didn't give it my all. I gave it from my heart. See? And that's how we ought to give. Give of our finances, give of our time. If you're grudgingly giving it, don't give. Don't give. Really, please, don't do it. Give from your heart. And there's a scripture, one of the scriptures here, I'm going to find it here in a second. There's one that's, yeah, it's the Amplified. See, this is what it said. This really jumped off the page at me here. This is Amplified, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 in the Amplified. It says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And listen to this, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone. That's why you do it. So that blessings can come to somebody else. So that you can see a blessing in what you did. And when you do it that way, I'm telling you, there's nothing that God won't do to get a blessing to you. When you do it from your heart and you say, oh man, I blessed somebody today. When you do it that way, that's what God says here in the Amplified. He says, he will not do without a cheerful, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in their giving. Yes, sometimes we get tired. All that. You're in a physical body, but that's why we say, "Hey, I'll give you an example." I didn't have this in not my notes. Just things that come up. I remember here in the ministry, one time, I spent almost 15, 18 years writing software for computer systems. Online computer systems, designing them and all of that, right? All the thrill of that. It was fun. When I came here, we didn't have a computer. And I'm like, oh boy, I just left a job where I had the thrill of designing online systems and advanced computer technology. And so we come here, we didn't even have a computer. I'm thinking, this is funny. Like if we got a pigeon or something. I mean, we didn't have a computer. So anyways, over time, we got computers. And so we came up in technology. So at one point, because I had gone to school for database design and all of these kind of things, some of it through IBM and all of that, but I said, well, I'll do something. I'll create something here. And so I remember working my normal hours, come in at 8:30, 5:30, I'm off, and then, of course, you work longer, but then running sound, doing all those other things, and then running sound at a service, and we might be leaving at 9:30, finished. So I've worked from 8:30, now it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. I would go in my office and program databases. I'd program them for the ministry until maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd go home, lay down for 2 or 3 hours, and get up and felt like I had 8 hours of rest. Take a shower, run in here. I'd be in here at 6, 6:30, going at it again. I did that for 3 months. I'm telling you, it felt like I had been plugged into an electric socket. I'm not joking. There was such supernatural energy. My mind was thinking, programming. It was just like, I'm thinking, putting stuff together, just click, 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 quick, 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 quick. 3 months, it lifted, and I was normal again. Yeah, 5:30 came. I'm like, man, I'm beat. I'm going home. So my point is I've lived through some of these things. You can't do it without his help. You can't be supernaturally empowered to do a task, but I had to make a choice to step forward, and I had an impression here to do it, and I move forward. And then what happened? The anointing came. The empowerment, the strength came to do it. I did it for that period of time, and man, when it lifted, whoo, buddy. As they say, it was normal again. So my point in all of that is that we can be empowered to do a task. We can reap the benefits of it, but we're going to have to do what? We're going to have to step out and do. There's going to have to be, you can't reap without doing what? Sowing. You've got to do something. That's why people sometimes are confessing over their finances, saying, I believe God blesses my finances and I haven't sown anything. Or stingy sowing, stingy crop. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully will reap bountifully. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. See, when we have God's perspective, when we have his thinking, when our mind has been renewed, we'll start looking for opportunities to give. Give of our time. We'll start looking for it. We'll say, okay, I know if I give and I plant, I'm going to reap. So why would I play it safe? Let me ask this question. How many of you in here have invested money into stocks or real estate? How many have done that before? Some of you have, right? And you did that for the purpose of what? Reaping. Let me put it to you another way. Getting ahead, right? You wanted to get ahead financially, so you had to do what? You had to sow something. You had to invest something, right? And the more you invested, the more you reaped, right? And some of us kind of caught on to that, and we said, oh, man, this is good. Let me invest some more. Let me read this other scripture over here. Let's bring that into remembrance here. I know where it is. But let me recite it. It says, I believe it's Mark or Matthew, either one of those books. No, but it talks about where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he says, it's Matthew 6. But it also talks about it says where your treasure is, but it also says where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or thieves break in. So sometimes we need to be investing in the kingdom of God in a way, just like, and I'm saying in a way, just the same way we wanted to get ahead in the natural. You want to get ahead in the kingdom of God, you've got to sow. You've got to sow. And that means in every area, you've got to sow. Turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's look at this scripture, Matthew 7 and verse 12. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Matthew 7 and look at verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. I think we call that in the natural, I think in the sense they call that what? The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Isn't that what this is saying? The voice translation, it says, this is what our scriptures come to teach in everything. In everything, in every circumstance, do to others as you would have them do to you. You want people to be friendly to you? Be friendly to them. You want people to help you? Help them. You want to reap in the area of finances? Sow. This is sowing and reaping in this scripture right here. And what does it say? In everything. In all things. So in other words, whatever you want to reap, you've got to do something. You've got to sow something. Amen. And what does that mean? Sow it not grudgingly. Or with any kind of, what is it in the Amplified? It says prompt to do it. If you got to think about it, you got to pray about it, forget it. He's looking for somebody who says, I'm going to do that, I'm going to help him. And God will work out all the other details. He'll work it out for you. Amen. I've lived through a few of these things. And I know. I'll give you one last scripture here. Something, you can turn to Luke 6, 36, 37, and 38. Something, years ago, Bob Harrison, he came more up for motivational speaking. How many remember Bob Harrison? This was years and years and years ago. I don't remember what year. It was somewhere around 86, 87, somewhere around there. It could have been 85. But he made a statement, I'll never forget it. He made this one-line statement. He said, if there's lack, there's slack. You may want to write that down. If there's lack, there's slack. That can be in everything. That means in our eating. If you're overweight, that means you're slacking in something. If you're lacking in finances, you're slacking in your giving. I mean, that's just, it's a principle. And Luke 6, did you get there? Luke 6, in the King James, verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See, right here. You want mercy? You got to sow mercy. You want somebody to be merciful to you? Are you merciful? You know, every one of us are going to find ourselves in positions where we're going to be judgmental about something, critical, in a position where you have to make a choice whether or not you're going to be merciful or not. And you want mercy, you need to show mercy. And I'll say we're all learning in these areas. We're growing in these areas. So if we miss it, don't get in the dumps over it. Grow, learn, but realize that this right here, he's saying, judge not. You don't want to be judged, then don't be a judge. It said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. This is sowing and reaping right here. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You want to be forgiven? Forgive others. Give. See, it's still in the same context. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall what? Men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you what? Meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Scanty giving, scanty harvest. Bountiful giving, bountiful harvest. You want bountiful mercy? You've got to sow abundant mercy. You don't want to be judged, you've got to sow mercy. Amen. Goes right there. You want a bountiful financial harvest? You know all of this. If you want corn, you don't plant watermelon seeds. You want cotton, you don't plant corn. You want money, you got to sow money. Now, yes, I do agree that God can work things in your behalf in some areas of your life that maybe you didn't sow money. That's the sovereignty of God, and he can do that. But I'm talking about just on basic, the principle. If you want money, you've got to sow money. If you want friendships, you've got to sow friendships. You can't sow money and be an ornery person and expect people are going to be friendly. You've got to extend friendliness or friendship to others if you're going to reap that. Amen. When we catch, what does the scripture say? That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When we get that, I tell you, the church will act differently. We will all act differently. Have any of you had an experience where you see something and what happens? When you see it, what do most of us do? We do something. When we see it, we act on it. Most of us do. If I see something clearly that I'm supposed to do, I act on it. So when we see clearly in this area of sowing and reaping, we'll act different. We'll sow differently. We'll sow with an expectation to reap a harvest. Farmers don't go out and speak over their farm expecting a harvest without what? Sowing the seeds. And we are going to have to do the same thing. If we want an abundant harvest in a particular area, we have got to have the same kind of mind renewal. And we can't think like the world. See, that's the problem, that in this earth realm, the devil is clouding our thinking. I like the term fog. When you're driving in a fog on the road, you're more tentative. You're more what? Cautious. You're apprehensive. We can't do that. Don't go too fast. You may hit somebody. Don't give too much money. Don't give much of your time. We may not have nothing left over. You're in a fog. You don't see clearly what God sees. You're apprehensive. And that's what I'm saying, is that when we see clearly the principles of sowing and reaping, when you can see, I'm moving. Because I know that when I sow, I'm going to reap. And there's no apprehension on my part. I know I'm going to reap it. But sometimes we operate with apprehension. Why? Because we don't see clearly. And the more we meditate on the Word of God, that's why I'm going to close with this comment. That's why Joshua 1:8 says, meditate in this day and night. Isn't that what he said? Yes. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. I like Joshua 1:8. There was a translation, I have it in my notes here from past lesson, that talks about, let me just get it here. Here it is here. It's God's Word translation. It says, never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them day and night so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. Let me ask this question. When the farmer plants his seed, every waking moment, he's thinking about what? His harvest. Every waking moment. every action, all his energies are focused on what? His harvest. And does he not talk about it? He talks about it. He plans for it. To do what? Reap the harvest. And so the same thing with us. When you look at this scripture, when it says, never stop reciting these teachings. That's why we take time when we say we've sown our money in, we've given it into the kingdom of God, we've done all that we can do now, God, and now we decree, we claim $80,000 this week in the name of Jesus. We command it to come in. That's the harvest. And we think about it, we talk about it, we are expecting it to come. Amen. And so that's exactly what this is here. That we are expecting. We think about it. We talk about it. And that's why I'm saying here, that was something that the Lord spoke to me years ago. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, what is he saying? Talk about it. Say it. Expect it to come. He said, if you do that, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So we can't, let me ask a question. Can we talk about lack if we're expecting a harvest? Because you know what you'll have? You'll have a harvest of lack. That's what you'll reap. So what we need to do is we need to think about it, talk about it. If you've sown your seed, don't talk about and say, I'm limited. I'm on a restricted income. I can't. I don't have. That shouldn't be in our vocabulary. If I've sown my seed, and it says, as long as this earth remains, seed time and harvest. It says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And what does it say at the beginning of that verse? God is not mocked. So we are going to receive because God's work is about ready to be culminated and the greatest revival of souls that are coming into the church. And now is not the time to think small. Now is the time to do what? Think big. Think growth. Think expansion. Think higher. Think bigger. Think more in every area of our lives. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. I hope you got something out of that. Just stir our hearts a little bit. If you're not sure about that or it's oh me or whatever, meditate on it a little bit. Let it soak in your heart. If you're wrestling with things in the natural, you know, sometimes we've meditated on things so long that it's hard sometimes to see spiritually. Like God sees, because we've meditated on something negative for so long that sometimes it's difficult for us to see that we can have higher, bigger, more. Some of us, you couldn't even say a million. You can't get it out. It's hard to get that out. But we need to say it and believe that we can have. God could give you one supernatural idea that would open doors to you where you could make multiples of millions. And I've read about them. Why not? Why not you? Dream big. Talk big. God's promised it, and he's looking for a people who'll take him up on it. He's given us a blank check. Let's fill it in. Amen. Fill it in with the promises of God and your confession and your doing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for seeing bigger, believing bigger, reaching out further for you. Thank you, Father. I decree that this house is full of prosperous entrepreneurs, those that'll think bigger, claim bigger, set the bar higher, and not think low, not think restricted, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With man, it's impossible, but not with God. Nothing is impossible for him. And with him. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Thank you for helping us see like you see. That the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. They're being enlightened with the light of the word. So we can see like you see. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen.